Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another episode here of Let's Talk Airguns. My name is Rick Utzler, and it will be me tonight. Angie is doing fine. She's in South Carolina, but they had some bad weather. I think their power got knocked out, and yeah, I'm not sure if she's going to be able to join us. So it's just me. I hope you guys will still hang out and talk some airgun stuff with us tonight. I do have some topics already lined up and some viewer comments we can chat about. And so I guess we'll just jump right in. If you ever read the descriptions, I kind of throw a little something in there about what we're going to talk about. So let me just read that out here. Generally speaking, we American air gunners, shooters, I remember when I first started, boy, more was certainly more, wasn't it? I mean, we had to go faster. We had more, had to have more power. We just had to have more. More was better, right? So more meant better everything. As I've kind of gotten into the sport a bit and learned a little bit more, sometimes that isn't the actual case. Sometimes less is more. And I know that that sounds, it's kind of a, everybody uses that phrase, but there are certain circumstances where you can get better consistency, better accuracy, and better shot count by actually turning things down, not up. And I want to talk a little bit about that tonight. I think it's going to fit in well with our overall focus for this year. And I don't think this is our first show for the year. So, well, you know, happy new year. Last week was my wife's birthday, so I took the night off. So I just said in the show, in the description, I said we're conditioned that more is more, excuse me. But are there times where less is more? And that's certainly the topic for tonight. Along with this discussion for backyard shooting ranges, I want to actually have a discussion what you guys like to shoot in your backyard. Do you actually shoot on your property or do you have to go somewhere else? What kind of targets you like to use? And generally, let's have more fun with our air guns here in 2024. So right off the bat, let me just thank the folks that help us do what we do. The best way, let me just show you. I'll show you some pages. Let me switch over to the next setup here. So if we go to the GTA, guys, the GTA, as you see, we got these banner ads up there. And those banner ads are how the GTA is supported. It helps cover the costs of maintaining the site. And it also helps, it actually is what pays Airgun Angie for the work she does. And the folks that she's working with. So these banners are important. They do help us do what we're doing and pay. They'll be able to pay our bills. So if there's some folks here that you see on the banners, and you'd like to let them know that you learned about their projects or products here, let me refresh it there. Learn about their products here on the GTA or on the show. That's really going to help us out. So I appreciate you guys letting them know. So that's good. So this, you can find out who our sponsors are there and definitely know that. And then over here on Airgun Web, now we're going to be changing things up because we've had some sponsor shifts. But if you ever want to see who's supporting what we're doing, go right here to the little sponsors button. And you should, I hope this works. I really do. You should get a list of all of our sponsors. And these are some of them. We're going to have to do some changes because I said we've had some sponsor shifts there. So we're going to need to update that. But in any case, if you guys ever want to see who's helping us do what we do, this is the list. And it's a bunch of folks. It is a lot of folks. And then we have the same over on GTA. It's a very similar site. And we have the same sort of thing going on. And you can actually see Angie's content, or if I do content for the GTA, it'll go here as well. And you guys can see what's happening. You can see who's helping us do what we do. A lot of the same folks and some different folks. But so if you guys want to see who's helping us do what we do, then that's a great way to do it. And we appreciate you guys going and checking that out. We are looking for a sponsor for the show. So if one of you guys out there would like to, if you have a brand or a product or something you'd like to promote and would like to see if we can work together, then definitely reach out. If you guys know somebody that says should really get on there and help Rick with the show, give them my information and I'd be happy to talk with them. But we are going to be looking for a sponsor for this show. We don't have anything right now, but we, you know, Angie and I like to come up here and do this because it's a labor of love for us. We like doing it, but it does take time and money and we have our expenses to make it happen. So we'd like to get those covered. So that's that. Now, the last video we threw out on Airgun Web was this unboxing video with the Gammo steel targets. I hope you guys enjoyed that, which kind of goes into my first topic today. I'm curious. I'm curious how what you guys have for backyard. Now, we have some folks here, maybe folks that watch it not live, maybe put it in the viewer comments. And maybe we can even do a, maybe I can make a poll. That would be kind of fun, is to make a poll and have people answer it that way. What size is your backyard? First of all, do you have a shooting range in your yard? And if you do, how far can you shoot? And what is a reasonable distance that you think is reasonable for shooting in your backyard? So that's sort of my question. And then while we sort of let that percolate, and I'll see what people come back with, I'll kind of share with you my thoughts that way. My first backyard that I had was back in South Carolina, and we had 2 acres. It was fairly long, but the house was like here, and then there's a little backyard. There was a pond, and then there was some back little teeny bit of backwoods, and then we had, is it 300 feet? We had about 100 yards from the front of the house to the road, so really, I had this little fenced-in area in the backyard, which I could get pretty easily. It could get 25 yards, 30 yards. Couldn't get 50. I might could get 40 if I went from catty corner to catty corner, you know, just shot. Man, sorry, my nose itches. Shot that way. And that was when I was first starting. So I was super excited to get good results at 20 yards. I was really tickled. If I could get, you know, a good group with a break barrel, because that's all I was shooting at the time, at 20 yards, I was really, really excited. So as I got better and I got my skill set improved and became more stable, yeah, my wife said we had no backyard in the apartment before that, though. That's very true. I wasn't shooting air guns when we lived in the apartment. Bean Flip saying he had about 26 yards. So he's got about 26 yards. I'm thinking that on average, you're going to see between 20 and 30 yards is about what people have to shoot. And that's kind of going to feed in to the rest of the topic tonight, I think. So let's just put a pin in that. If you guys have some different experiences, but I bet you, you know, my yard in Cottageville was bigger than most, that 2 acres, but it was chopped up. Then I moved to Lake Havasu, and we went from 2 acres down to like a postage stamp, and it was on a funky angle on a hill. And so we had actually very little flat spot, and that I had 20 yards. It's all I had. And I shot everything. If you guys go back and watch my videos from 2010 through to 2018, you'll see they were all in Havasu area. They were either out in the desert or in my front yard. I had the not so easy up. That was a like cobbled together gazebo thing with shea cloth that we used. And I shot everything there right in my front yard. And that was 20 yards. Had a heavy duty backstop and, you know, steel plate and all that kind of stuff, so my pellets would leave my property. But that was 20 yards. And I did a lot there in 20 yards, buddy. I shot a lot of guns in that 20 yard space. Had to be super quiet, which then again kind of goes into the other part I want to talk about tonight. Let's see, we got some comments here. So Derek's got 100 yards. Yep, that's cool. I've got that too. Crazy Cassie's got 50 yards. He's got targets at 50 and 40. Temporarily, he'll set up 20, 25, and 30. Terry's got 90 acres. Yeah. I mean, I'm spoiled now because I have my own range with banks and, you know, dirt banks on the sides and the back. And I've got 50, 75, and 100-yard backstop set up, and I have a nice huge shooting pavilion that I can sit up under and be relatively comfortable. So that is that. I think that's the exception rather than the rule. But I've got, you know, 100 yards easy, and then I'm buying some property adjacent to the range, and I could instead of shooting east west, I could change the direction and set up something north-south, and I could have easily maybe 500 yards. So when I get moved over there, I'm definitely going to be talking to our ranch foreman to see if he can, with our tractor, make, even if it's just one lane, with a big pile of dirt at the end where we could have something like a 500-yard range. I think that would be stinking awesome. But that for like extreme, for big bores and extreme stuff, I'd like to get that set up. But that's down the road ways. So Jeffrey San has 15 acres, utilizes a movable target shoot from 25 to 83 yards. Then he has from 100 to 225. And that's pretty cool. So it looks like a lot of you guys actually have some acreage to shoot, which is interesting. Okay, that's interesting. Until I moved here, I did not have that. Most of the folks that I shot with there in Havasu, or even in Cottageville now, I know Angie's got a beautiful setup. I should have taken my drone and gotten some nice footage of her situation, because her setup is super nice. She's got a really nice workshop with her studio and everything. And then you kind of walk out the door, take a left, and she's got her husband, like, did a great job setting up actual stable shooting platforms at 50 yards. And then it's all marked off down the fence. She can just get set up. It's really, really nice. I like the way it is, the way it was done. And there's trees and shade. It's very, very sweet. It's very awesome. But she's got 50 yards at her place, which is good, because I think 50 yards is kind of the new normal for air guns now, at least PCPs. All right. So, as I said, it looks like you guys have some room to shoot, which is awesome. I would think that most shooters, most average, not necessarily urban, but the rural urban, like, so not like rural, not urban, sort of in the middle, suburbs, probably have that 20 to 30 yard range. And in that space, the 20 to 30 yard range, I'm wondering what people like to shoot. I personally like to shoot paper targets. That's just me. I enjoy that a lot. I just want to get just as tight groups as I possibly can. But I do like also steel targets. So I kind of like go from like what my wife would say, boring paper targets, to the other end and just shoot steel targets, less about accuracy and more about watching things spin and flap and move. I'm kind of at those extremes. And that's where I thought like the last video we did on the Gammo targets was pretty cool, because one, those are pretty affordable. I think we showed, it's this video right here, and I don't have any pictures, per se, but we had, the little squirrel targets, which I think are just really fun to set up. They're the knockdown targets. And then we had, just a simple spinner that goes in the ground and has four little spinners on it. And then we had the ultimate like spinner target one. They're all light duty though. I mean, all of that stuff is really meant for, I would say, less than 20, probably less than 15 foot-pounds. So that's on the lighter end. I think you hit them with the Magnum a bunch of times, especially like the squirrel or something, and it's going to know it's been hit. You'll start to dent it a little bit. But for lighter stuff, 15 foot-pounds, it's really good. It lasts a long time, and they're a lot of fun. A lot of fun. I think those are a great option for close range stuff. What are we going to shoot at those, right? So the last video I did here, and actually, if you guys, I don't know, I bet you there's some of you guys that are part of either our Patreon page or the Officers Club. Let me just pull up the Patreon page real quick. So this is one way you guys can support us, is by joining either the Patreon or the Officers Club. And we've got behind the scenes and exclusives. And I'm finally in a flow to get the early access stuff. Angie's been really good about that. I finally, Cheryl and I worked out a way to get early access out. And then the video will follow. So we just dropped this video here on a backyard shooting tune setup on the Barra 1100Z. So beam flip saying the quadrant target is great. I love the quadrant target. That's probably one of my favorite steel targets for sure. And it's great at any range because it lets you know where you're landing and you can make your adjustments. So that's super awesome. So the 1100Z, we did a video not too long ago on the 177, and we detuned it. Now, that was at the advice of Bara, because I had watched Angie turn hers up and get better results. So I did that with mine, and it didn't shoot like I was hoping. And then I talked to them. They said, well, turn it down. And I said, okay. So I turned it all the way down, like flush with the back of the gun. Like, I don't know if you can see it, but I might have a picture. Hold on. The picture. Okay. Right. This picture right here. Okay. So there's the hammer spring adjuster on this gun. Now this is a 22. On the 177, I had it flush with the back of the gun. And that's where that worked. I tried that on this gun and it was too light. So I went in two turns and then I got the results that you're going to see in the video. So if you're part of the Patreon page or part of the Officers Club at Aragon Army, this video is already live. So you guys can actually see it, which is pretty cool. But this is a video here. And it has... We got some really cool results. Let me show you. Let me just show you what we got. So I'll shoot at 25 yards, which again, I think is like really a good halfway between just a good backyard range personally. And I wanted this setup to be just super quiet and accurate. And this one is shooting at like about, I've got it set with this hammer adjuster with the shot curve from like 2000, maybe 1950 down to 950, you know, and I'm getting 40 shots. I'm getting 40 shots with a 50 foot per second spread. And that's very, it sometimes it can vary. It can be between 40 and 50, depending. But these are the results I got. Like, so I was like really tickled. These were 10 shot groups. These aren't 5 shot groups. These are 10 shot groups. And we're talking about a gun that's, 275, 280. And, I mean, to just be able to sit in my backyard. Let's say I had a 25-yard backyard. To be able to sit there and with, like, be super quiet. I don't need a lot of air. And I can just punch holes in paper, like, consistently. I mean, it was just such a fun day to get down there and do this video. You guys, if you're not part of the Officer Club or the Patreon page, the video's coming out Friday. So you're just gotta wait a couple days and you're gonna see it. But be able to just sit there and again, super quiet. So the reason I like the doggone thing so much is the price point. Okay, now I have another gun that's gonna be coming out in a couple weeks. It's $1,300, it's a lot more money, and I got better results. Well, I would figure if I spent another $1,000, it by God ought to shoot better, right? But if I'm just a guy who likes to get some trigger time and I'm sitting in my backyard and I'm shooting on a budget, then son of a gun. I mean, and I'm interested. If I go back over here to the forum, we Aragon Capital, where are they? Maybe their banner will pop up. Maybe it will. Maybe it won't. Aragon Capital just signed up for the pro tier. So you're going to be seeing some of their stuff on the website here shortly, both with Angie and I'm going to do a little bit too. But they have now they have an aluminum moderator. Here's the Aragon Capital. They've got this new aluminum moderator. And I'm like, that would work great on the Barra, right? So something like that. Where's my pictures? There we go. I've got the 0 dB on this right now because that's what I had on hand for 22. And it's super nice. It's kind of expensive. And I think the Aragon Capital stuff is going to be a great fit for something like this. And also, let's not forget Terry over Buck Rail. He's got some great stuff too. That's 1/2 UNF. And I haven't looked at his prices lately, but I know they're super affordable. So if you detune the gun, you can put like a really affordable moderator on it. And now you've got like very little reciprocating movement because you've turned the spring so far down. With it all the way out, the hammer spring all the way out, the hammer will actually float. So it's not in contact with the hammer spring. It throws it at the valve, but in the 22, it wasn't enough to actuate the valve properly. So it's got a little pressure on it, but you don't have a lot of hammer bounce like you normally do with it turned up. So you don't have that sort of sound in your ear. And with the moderator on it, it is just so quiet. That, you know, again, I go to the price point, right? It's sub $300, $275, $280, whatever. You can set, I love the way I can set the trigger up. I love that now I only need to fill this to 1900 to 2000 PSI. I got 40 shots. And if we go back and look at the shot, if we go back and look at the shot groups, these were consistent. I mean, these weren't like one off. I shot 40 shots for the video, and these are the 40 shots I shot. Like, this one's got one that kind of went a little low, which, look, we're going to have some variations. It's a $300 gun, right? But I'll tell you, I'll sit in my backyard and do that all day. That is way smaller than Minute a Squirrel Head. That's all I'm saying. You know, you can go out and I would have zero problem dove hunting, quail hunting, rabbit hunting, jackrabbit hunting, squirrel hunting, whatever, with that. And I'm getting 20 foot-pounds. So it's not like I'm not getting 25, which was what I was getting factory. I'm getting 20. I'm getting 20 foot-pounds, consistently accurate, turning it down. So that's where I'm saying less is more here. So less power hitting the valve actually calmed the gun down, and I got really, really good results. So I'm super tickled with how this thing's going, and it makes me think, I wonder what other guns I have that'll do it. Now, I know we've done the same thing with my Air Arms, and even at 50 yards, turning the velocity down on the Air Arms yielded better results, even at 50 yards. So this is interesting to me, to really take a step back and say, all right, maybe pushing it to the max, if I'm shooting pellets. Now, if I'm shooting slugs, it's a different thing, I would imagine. But I shoot pellets. I don't shoot a lot of slugs yet. Maybe I will some this year. But I just shoot a lot of pellets. And pellets actually, well, from what I'm saying, sometimes I like to go a little slower. So I think that's kind of cool. And I like the results I got out of this by turning it down. And really, man, you talk about a 25 to 30 yard, just beautiful backyard air gun. This thing is sweet for that, and won't break the bank. Let's see. So I don't know if there's I don't know what's going on with the audio, hun. Text me if you can describe it or something. Let me just check my mic. I can maybe get a little less aggressive on the background noise removal. Let me turn that down a bit. You guys, let me know. Okay. Yeah, I don't have anything. The mic's way up out of the way. So, anyway. Maybe I'll have to go to a headset. I really don't want to have to use a headset. Like, guys, I really, really don't. But if I do, I will. But we'll see. We'll see. It could be I'm running the NVIDIA broadcast processing the mic through the noise cancellation. So maybe that's just glitching and not working so good. I don't know. We'll see. I don't really see much blinking over here on the meter. So, but yeah, we'll keep going on. Let's see. So what's going to be our next videos coming up? We've got, well, if for guys that haven't seen this one already, we've got this video coming out on Friday. So you guys can definitely catch that. We've got the, let me refresh this and get somebody else up here. Who we got? Roll the dice, pull the handle. Okay, Utah. After that, our next full-length video is going to be the Huntsman Revere Plinkers package, which it shot really good. We tested 8 different pellets, and that was a lot of fun. The pre-release, early release, early access will be out next Monday. I previewed that video today, and it was fun to watch. Of course, I don't know, I'm kind of weird. I like watching airgun videos. So I'm sitting there, I'm just got a big smile on my face watching myself shoot these targets. So I had a good time. So hopefully you guys will like that video. But that'll be out. Pre-release will be out Monday. The full video, or the everybody version, will be out on Friday. We've got a bunch of shorts and stuff coming out along the way on the various things we've been working on. So I don't know if you guys have been have noticed or have been seeing the shorts and what your thoughts have been on that. Let me turn this camera off. I don't need it. I don't know that that'll matter. Let me see something. No, I can't get that mic loose, so we're just going to leave it. Next week, I'll try a different mic setup. We'll see how it goes, guys. The Umarex Underlever Spring Gun. I don't know. I have not had my hands on one in a while, so I don't have any update for that. The other thing we got is we had all those Gammo guns. Have you guys seen Angie's videos? I don't know if she's posted the unboxings. Let me switch over there quickly. Okay, so she's done the CFX. That's all she's done. Okay, so she's got... We did the unboxing of the CFX. I've done an unboxing of that too for our channel. We've got the Gammo Hunter Extreme Ultimate, which is a 25 cal with their big cylinder. So that one's supposed to do some crazy power. And then I've got kind of a throwback. I believe Gammo had a gun years ago called the CSI. It was a camo version of their 20. It was like their first Whisper, had the little Whisper front end. It was very, I don't know, super light, really gentle to cock and shoot. I had one at 22 that was just a cream puff of an air gun. So much fun and easy to shoot. Well, they've got a version of that out now called the Shadow Elite. It's actually black and gold, which I thought was really cool. Let me pull that up. Let's see, air rifles, Gammo exclusives, maybe on the page, here it is, the Shadow Elite 22. So I've got this one in, and this really reminds me of the CSI that they had years ago. I mean, like, we're talking back when I lived in Cottageville, and it was a camo stock, all camoed out, really cool. But this should be a pretty fun air gun. Well, oh, I got to show you guys something. Okay. I couldn't talk about this until I had confirmation. This is super exciting, okay? I'm just going to tell you it's super exciting. I think you're going to find it super exciting, too. Okay, if you notice on this gun here, right, we notice this. It's got a lot, like, this actually has an adjustable cheek piece. Let me go to a different one. Let me go to the exclusives. Let's go to... That one, okay, Magnum Power, okay, this is a new gun. It just came out. Okay, you notice they've got open sights, right? So they've got open sights on this gun, but they have this really high cheek piece, which means you can't use a tag of open sights. You can only use a scope. Well, guess what I found out that Gammo has, and they're looking to make them available. This is a replacement riser. It's the daggum thing's replaceable. This... You take the butt pad off, you take that high cheek piece off, you throw this one on, and now you can use your open sights. Well, this was a surprise not only to me, but Tony over at Gammo there in Rogers. He said, you're not going to believe what I just found out from Gammo. They actually have these replaceable cheek risers that can drop on that gun, and now you can use your open sights. So that's going to be fun. I'm going to do a video converting I have a Gammo GR 25, which I love that gun. It's a traditional spring gun at 25 caliber. Fun to shoot. Would love to just shoot it with open sights, but because it's got that high comb, can't do it. But now I can take that comb off, drop this on, and now I can shoot with open sights. Having this doesn't bother me using a scope. I'm fine with it. I would rather have the option to be able to use my open sights. So now I'm going to be able to do that. So I've been wanting to tell you guys about this little gem for a couple weeks now, but I wanted to wait till I got the okay from Gammo that they were actually going to be able to get some and then be able to sell them. So I don't know when they're going to make these available, but they told me they're going to be able to sell some of these directly over the website. And I also talked to them. If everything works out well, I'm hoping to go there, go to Rogers for the Daisy Nationals and go a couple days early and be able to shoot some videos on some tutorials on how to rebuild the swarm and some other systems. And from what they're telling me, they're going to have parts start to be available for those types of parts of the gun. So it could be that a longstanding desire for folks to be able to get parts, I'm not saying every part, and I'm not saying critical parts, like you probably can't buy a new trigger and you probably can't buy a new gas ram yet, maybe someday, but like the swarm mechanism and some other bits and pieces, I think they're going to start having that stuff available. And that's going to be pretty cool. It's a step in the right direction. I know it's not the leap everybody, well, not everybody, the leap that a lot of people would want, but the fact that there's going to be some stuff available, I think is very, very cool. Let's see here. This is awesome. I can't wait to show. I'll do, if I put it up here, you guys can't see it. This is awesome. I can't wait to show you guys swapping one of these things out and the difference it makes lining up to be able to use the open sights. That's going to be really, really cool. I think I'm going to do it on my Gamma Magnum GR first, and then I've got some other guns to try. But that means like the Swarm, the Magnums that came out, not the Gen 3i, but the ones before that, they were Gen 2, just not the I. They had the flat mag, but it had sights, but it had the high comb. You could swap that out, put this on, and now you could have the Swarm with, be able to use the open sights. I'm thinking, man, iguana hunting with like that would be sweet, because then you get that right lineup on your open sights. They work better. Okay. Let's see. So that was talking a little bit about the Gammo stuff. We talked a little bit about the Barra 1100 already. I'm looking here. We have any questions. If you guys have questions, you can throw them in the chat. And if I can answer them, I'll do my best to do it. Oh. There's another thing I want to talk about. I get emails all the time. From folks saying, hey, will you look at this? Will you do a review of that? And I generally say no, because a lot of people will give you this and you can have it and you do a video. Well, they don't realize that it's several hundred dollars for us to produce a video and publish it. And, you know, the product's $50 or whatever. And look, I can't afford to pay to market other people's stuff. I have to be working with people that I'm getting paid to work with. And I know that may sound awful, but I like to get paid for working, and I got bills to pay and folks that, you know, employees to pay and so forth. So it's kind of nature of the beast. This isn't a hobby for me and the folks that work with me. This is our job. Anyway, I do make exceptions on occasion, depending on my conversation with the folks and whether or not it's something that really interests me. And I got this email from Keystone Air Guns. Now, they're going to be a sponsor on the GTA, and they got to start small because they're just starting. So they're going to have a little bitty banner here, but let me show you what they got, because they did send me a gun. And I don't know if you guys have heard of Cometa. Cometa is also out of Spain, and it's a very traditional break barrel, Springer break barrel air gun. And it takes me right back to like the roots of where I started. And there's different classes of break barrels. So like if you get a Crossman Vantage, it's $100. It is what it is. It's roll the dice whether or not you get a good one. And then as you start working your way up, like I had a Gammo Hunter 440, which was an exceptional gun. Loved that gun. Gave it to a member of my family. And I've had different break barrels over the years. And like the best break barrel I have is probably the Walther LGV. It's an $800-some-odd break barrel. And there's just something about when the barrel locks up and the way the gun feels to shoulder, the way the gun feels to shoot, the way just everything about the gun, you just know that there is a level of engineering and manufacturing that has gone into this that is like miles ahead of what you're getting out of like the Crossman and the Benjamins and a lot of the Asian stuff, right? So you can tell the difference. And I got, I'll tell you, the gun he sent me was this guy, the Phoenix 400. So this is the one he sent. Now, this picture does not do this gun justice. I'm just going to tell you right now. The stock is gorgeous. This stock just looks like this is not exposed well. But the stock is gorgeous, and it's it has the same sort of feel like the high-end brake barrels, like the Wyrox, the Beemans, the old European Beemans, the Wyrox, the Dianas. Actually, I think it's a little bit nicer than the Dianas. The Walther's like on another scale. The Walther's just amazing. But this gun, when you shut the barrel, it's like a bank vault. It goes clank, and you just know this thing ain't going anywhere. And the confidence that it instills when that thing shuts and it just locks up so damn tight, you know that somebody knows what they're doing when they're building the gun. Now, if there's new folks to brake barrels, the barrel joint's everything, right? If that barrel joint doesn't lock up the same way every time, then you're not going to have any consistent accuracy. It's not going to work. So the criticalness of that lockup being just robust and consistent is paramount. If you don't have it, look, the gun still shoot. And I love the guns I'm shooting. Gammo's a great gun. They're European stuff, the special edition exclusive with the steel breeches. You know, that's got that similar sort of lockup. It's not quite as good as this, though, just be honest. But the plastic breech and that stuff, look, it all works. Shoots fine for the backyard. But there's another level that you hit, another level of engineering. It's sort of like, love the Barra, right? Love that 1100Z, man. That is just such a sweet gun. And I have other guns that are in that class are like the Beeman Underlever or the Beeman Commander or, gosh, the old Benjamin Discovery. There's a bunch of guns in that sphere, just really fun, nice air guns that are great. But you start rolling to guns that are 1,000 plus, there's a difference. There's a difference. There's a difference how they feel. There's a difference how they shoot. There's a difference in the experience. And I have a much higher expectation that I want those things to shoot well. Well, this gun, I have it in 177, so looks like they only have it in 22 now. But he has very limited supply of these. But I got this in, and we're going to do an unboxing video, and then we're going to actually do a couple videos with this gun. I'm very curious to see how it's going to shoot. I have had it out of the box already, looked it over, checked out how the cocking force and put a pellet in it, felt the recoil, and kind of got a feel for just how the gun operates. And I'm very, very excited to get this gun down to the range to see what I can do with it. First of all, it's absolutely beautiful. It is really beautiful. And the way the mechanics feel in the gun, it has me excited. I don't know how it's going to perform velocity or consistency that way. I don't know how it's going to perform for accuracy. I don't know what's going to be the right pellet. I don't know any of that stuff yet. But the way it looks, the way it feels, I have high hopes. I'm hoping, cross my fingers, I'm hoping that it delivers on the accuracy and the consistency. I don't need it to be super powerful. Just give me 16 foot-pounds, 15, 16 foot-pounds, and I'm good to go. I'm fine. I'm taking all kinds of squirrels with that. No problem. Because if it's got the accuracy, you just put the pellet where you need it, and job's done. And I'm hoping that it's going to give me that kind of experience. I'm very, very excited. I'll tell you, the trigger was surprisingly good, and it looked like there was still room to adjust it. So I don't know. I haven't done anything other than, like I said, I took it out of the box. I haven't even put a scope on it yet. Took it out of the box, drooled over it a little bit, petted it. I rubbed it, and it's real pretty. And then I put a couple pellets through it just to see what the cycle feels like, and it's impressive. So this is Keystone Air Guns, guys. If you guys want to check out what they have, let them know you saw them here. He has not asked for any of this. I'm just saying, as far as me talking about on the show tonight. But this goes, again, to kind of my theme for this year. Affordable, you know, good quality, consistent performing air guns for the average shooter. I mean, I think, and what I mean by average, I mean like average capacity and what they have available to them. I think that we're talking, all of us here that have 50, 75, 100, 200, 500 yards, to shoot, we are the grand exception to the rule. I bet you most air gunners that are buying brake barrels at various places are have their backyard and they're trying to kill a squirrel or a rabbit or doing some pesting or whatever. I doubt seriously that the majority have a long range to shoot. But if something like this just reminds me of where I started and what I cut my teeth on. So I'm super excited to kind of have that in my hands again, because these pictures are far more representative of what the stocks look like. They are gorgeous. So yeah, if you guys are interested in taking a look at some of this stuff, they have different prices. They have definitely the entry level stuff. But yeah, I will, if things go well for this guy, he's interested in potentially bringing over some of the PCPs. And I've shot the Cometa PCPs, and they're awesome. So it'd be another very interesting addition to the airgun market here. Give us some more stuff to shoot. But if you guys like the traditional high quality, then yeah, give these a look. I was very, very pleasantly surprised with how the gun felt in the hand. So we'll see how she does shooting. That'll be one of the next videos we're doing. I may do some of that over on the exclusive stuff with the Patreon page and the Officers Club. We will have general information available on the YouTube channel as well, but I'll probably do at least some of the work will be exclusive. That's how we're going to try and pay for some of the work, is through that, through y'all's direct support. So there you go. We're sitting at about 712 right now, so let's jump into some viewer comments, and then we'll see if we have any questions and we'll wrap it up. Okay. So this is a topic we get a lot, and I'm going to kind of look at it again here, because obviously people are thinking about it. On the Beretta M9A3 full auto pistol video, a gentleman asked, would you consider this to be effective for self-defense in the full auto mode? And he's specifically looking for non-lethal. My personal opinion is, and will probably continue to be, that a product like that has no business ever being thought of as such in such a use. It generates so little power. A thick jacket is going to prevent anything. And I've heard people say, well, I'll just shoot him in the face. And I'm thinking, boy, you just have no idea. You've watched way too much Hollywood and think that you're going to have that capacity in a moment of high adrenaline to be able to control anything you're doing, unless you have a ton of training. It's a pipe dream, my friend. So no, I don't think that that's a good fit at all. There are some products that have come out in the market, and I'm talking with a person now who's current sponsor. I don't want to talk who they are yet because I'm waiting to see how things are going to pan out. But they actually carry a line of purpose-built less than lethal self-defense air guns. Now, these are like rubber ball, pepper ball, that kind of stuff that have, I mean, they're designed specifically for that intent. I don't know personally, but you know, I'd be interested to see how they do, and see how they, is there some viability? I hope to God I never, ever, 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 ever find myself in a situation where I have to think about that, or think about having to defend myself with any sort of firearm or air gun or anything. I hope and pray to God I never have to do it. Pray you guys never have to do it. But I know people want to have something to defend themselves. I just don't think air guns, at least that particular space of air gun, it has any business. The gentleman actually heard what I was saying, took my advice, so... you know, I'm glad that I was able to give him some help. Are there some air guns that are, you know, lead shooting air guns that would be suitable? If I'm having to, I pray I never have to. But if I ever had to, I do not see the value of less than lethal when you're dealing with having to protect yourself and your family. So that's just my opinion. So I would look for something that has enough power to absolutely get the job done where you know you and your family are going to be safe, and not have to be, you know, concerned about having just pissed somebody off more. So that's just my two cents in it. Timmy's saying, big dog in 12 gauge is home defense, not an air gun. I'm with you. Nothing like a 12 gauge to get somebody's attention. Pat's saying terrible products, please don't promote. I guess he's talking about the less than lethal stuff. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm not a fan of them. You have places that are, I mean, I don't know. We'll have to see how that plays out. I'd like to get my hands on some just to see what they're like. But I may do informational stuff. I don't expect to promote them, quote unquote, like say, this is great, buy it. I don't see myself doing that. I would have to be pretty impressive to have that kind of, anyway. Yeah, Pat's saying that less than lethal shouldn't look like a gun ever. I guess that's a good point. We'll see how things play out with that whole thing. I have the products that I helped cobble together. I say cobble together, that's not right. We had the Rex pistol, which is a 50 cal, 200 some odd foot pound pistol. That's viable for personal defense. We added the long tube on it, called it the last resort microcarbine. So it had a little bitty barrel, but a longer air cylinder. You could shoulder it, it's a little microcarbine. That has some value, but you're pushing 200, I forgot the exact energy, but 200-ish or more with lead rounds. To me, that's got some potential, but still, I'm not a fan of an air gun for self-defense. So, let's see. Yeah, Kyle's saying the only one who should be considering air guns for home defense are people who live in states where, due to legal issues, can't have firearms. Yeah, I mean, that is a lot of people that are asking. There's people that can't have firearms. A lot of states, guys, that can't have firearms also have restriction on air guns, too. So that's kind of sucks. But like Illinois, for example, it's got some interesting, they have an interesting take on air guns, and a lot of times they'll consider an air gun a firearm, and they're not the only state that does it. So while the feds may not have particular legislation around that, a state can certainly create their own, or a municipality can create their own, and that's perfectly fine and legal. And we want state rights and we want local rights. So take the goose, take the stuff you like with the stuff you don't like, unfortunately. Or fortunately, but anyway, let's go on to the next question. So as far as air guns for self-defense, and it needs to be I don't know. I'm still on the fence with that. Well, I'm way on the side of no, but I do know of a few that could be very viable, but I wouldn't put them in the less than lethal category because I don't see that as viable at all, personally. All right, so here's another one. We'll move on to a more positive subject. This was on the Gammo Magnum setup video. Guy says, new to your channel. So far, I really like what I've seen. Thank you. I have a question for you. I have two Gammo Swarm Gen 2, and I'm looking to get a good scope that will stand the Magnum Springer. Both of the stock scopes do not hold up. Any suggestions would be greatly appreciated. I've had a lot of just good results with the stock scopes, but I don't try and push them beyond. I don't know. I don't know what he means by they don't hold up. So I'll just leave it. But I have heard of them failing. So, okay. But what's a good scope for Magnum Springer? I would say, definitely look at Hawk Optics. The Air Max is Springer rated. The Vantage IR, any of their illuminated reticle scopes are, at least they have been for as long as I've known, and I don't think they've changed it, are etched glass reticles. They don't use wire reticles in any of the IR stuff. So you want a glass reticle. That's like super important. If you get the wire reticle, you're setting yourself up for a problem. Any scope you get, make sure the manufacturer clearly states that it is Springer rated for air. It's an air gun rated scope with spring air guns, because they'll say, oh yeah, you can use it on an air gun, But if they're just talking PCP, that doesn't matter, right? That's like a regular firearm, less than a 22 long rifle. But if they're willing to say, yes, this will work on a Springer, Magnum Springer, that's what you want to know. So ask them. If they say it will, then it may work great. So that's that question. It's an interesting question. This is regarding the Gammo Pro 177 review. I think we did some pellet testing. We got to move on to the next part of that video. I think we did. I'm trying to remember. I think we did. Yeah. That was last month. That's like last year. Gentleman says, thanks for the work on the Pro 177 version. This one is going to show people some work has to be put in to get great results. You ain't kidding. That gun takes a bit of practice. I snuck an early peek of your Vimeo page. I hope you tell us more about your process and how you determine which pellets to test. Okay, and that's basically the question tonight. Please let us know how many different pellets you had to try in your full review. I haven't done the full review yet. As far as pellets, I stick to maybe 10 or 12 kind of go-tos. And so we're talking JSB, H&N, Crossman Premieres, Crossman Premier Hollow Points. And I've added those because some of you guys really want to see how they do. I'm not a fan of them, but now and then they'll surprise you. So, you know, it's worth trying. And then we have our hunting pellets, the Hunter Extremes, Polymags, Terminators. You know, we have 10, 12, maybe 15 different pellets. And I may just casually shoot those off camera just to get an idea. And then if I've got a set that makes sense, I like the targets I have that have the two, have three rows of four. So I can use the center rows for sighters, or center row for sighters. And then I can put eight pellet tests, four on one side, four on the other, kind of give me an idea. I have a video coming out on the Revere. Again, if you have early access or you watch that out, you can come out Monday, check it out. But I got eight pellets there and I really like those. I like doing, eight's kind of a good number, but my go-tos are going to be JSBs and the typical weights, H&N the typical weights, Crossman Premieres, maybe the GTOs, JSB, the lead-free stuff. If I'm shooting Gammo guns, then I'll shoot the Red Fires. I may shoot the rockets. I'm not a fan of like 95% of Gammo's pellet options. But I do like the Red Fires for the break barrels. They have proven themselves, at least to me, to be very, very good. So yeah, but that's how I pick them. I just have the core of what has worked good. JTS now is part of that. They have some really good pellets, and Umarex has, oh, what's their new pellet? I forgot the name of it, but they've got their new pellet too, pellets and slugs. So I've got some of those. I haven't shot any yet, but I got those. There's a gentleman, Bill Nudy. He's up in New York, and he hand casts or hand swedges slugs, which we've got a bunch of his to test, but that's a whole other thing. I'm looking forward to showing you guys some of that. Let's see. Brimstone, thank you, Bean Flip. Yes, that's the ones. That's the Umarex pellets. We'll see how they do. Oh, a little cool thing that I just found out today or yesterday? Yesterday. Umarex, they did. I was not paying attention. They have now a side lever on their 30 cal. I've got one coming. So we're going to be doing some work with the 30 cal G2, but the side lever version, I cannot wait. That was, I doubt it's changed, 100 plus foot pound gun. So, ooh, I'm excited about that. That's the side lever one. So that should be in shortly. All right, last question for tonight before we wrap it up here. And this was on the JTS compressor video. So is a compressor that size only meant to fill air guns, or can it fill a bottle, or can you fill a bottle with it also? If you can fill a bottle, how big bottle would it fill? Thanks. It's like how much wood could a woodchuck chuck, woodchuck could chuck wood, huh? We got to have that for our compressors now. How much air could a compressor? Anyway, maybe Angie could pull something together for me on that one because she's the songwriter. So my answer to that is the JTS compressor, the Nova Air, the Ready Air, the Hill, the big, the Hill, the really nice Hill. All of those are direct fill guns. They're not meant to fill bottles. You try and fill bottles, you burn them up. Any of the GX pump stuff, now except CS4. Okay, and I was going to show you guys this. So I did something on the CS4 here. This is on the exclusive side of things because that's our first exclusive project that we were working to pull together with support from you guys. I do have the final review of that. We've shot the video, and that'll be going up here once Cheryl has a chance to edit it. But we filled Pony Bottle from dead empty to full, top to Pony Bottle off. We filled the Avenger from dead to full, from dead empty to full, and we topped it off. So we got some numbers. I can tell you that the thing has been working great. It's water-cooled. It can run consecutive, 5 hours consecutive. They say you can do like a 7-liter bottle. I don't know. As long as it took to fill, it took over an hour to fill a Pony Bottle from empty, so... I mean, that's a 1-liter bottle, so I'm thinking maybe it was a 6-4-liter. I don't know. I don't see filling a bottle that size. Now, I would love to get my hands on either a 2- or 3-liter bottle, like a little bit larger Pony Bottle, and have that for the backpack. See, that would be awesome, and it will fill that. So that compressor is $600, plus or minus. It'll fill bottles, small Pony Bottles, and it'll fill your gun. That is the compressor that I'm, like, pumped about. Pardon the pun. That compressor is awesome. So it's held up really good. And I have got, in the course of just a few months, I have more time on that compressor than I have any of my other portable compressors because I'm filling bottles. I go down the range. I'm filling my guns from the bottle. I have two bottles, and I just have them in rotation. While I'm using one, another one's getting filled up. So if I'm down shooting, that compressor's running. So I've got, I don't know how many hours on it now. I had a bunch of hours on it already, and it just, it's just chugging. So I'm a super fan of that CS4. But the little compressors, the JTS, the Nova Air, Ready Air, the Nomad 2, all of that stuff. Those small little 12-volt / converter type, the Vever, any of that stuff. Yeah, they're meant for filling guns. Don't try and fill bottles. You may fill the bottle. You also may burn your compressor up. So I just say don't do it. So if you know you're going to fill bottles, you're going to want to fill bottles, check out that check out the CS4. Another option would be the Trail Charger from Air Guns of Arizona. They have, it's very, 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 very similar. Although I've been told it's not the same thing. Okay. It just is so similar. But all right, it's not the same. I'm going to get in trouble for doing that. Anyway, it's not the same. I'm told it's not the same. Boy, it looks the same. Anyway, let's move on. Yes, the JTS compressor is made by GX. It is. The JTS does have an extra fan to make it run a little cooler, but they don't have the water cooling high-capacity four-stage pump with the heavy-duty or motor that the CS4 has. They have your standard duty that is just, again, for air guns. Let's see. Phil's asking, what's your opinion on laser bore sights? I have just never used them. No, that's not true. I have used them in the past. It's been long enough ago, I can't even give you an opinion on them. I know they don't work if you're trying to sight in a brake barrel or any spring gun. Probably would be okay with a PCP, but I don't have any experience with them. Not in any recent that I can remember, so I don't have an opinion. Jeff's asking, anyone have experience with the 1435 Jumbo Express JSB-22s? Yeah, I've shot them. They can be pretty good. Depends on the gun. So... those are ones I probably should have tried in the Barra after having detuned it. Probably should have tried those out. They would have been a good test. So, Anyway, guys, we're at 7:30. That's it. We've burned another hour. So are we going to wrap it up? I want to say thank you guys for hanging out with me tonight and for shooting the breeze. And we'll see what we got going on next week. We're going to start. We got SHOT Show right on top of us. I know a lot of the people I was hoping to have on the show are going to be at SHOT Show. And then we got Scrollmaster Classic and so yada yada. I'm hoping to get some guests lined up. So we'll see how that goes. To get some folks on the show that can come up here and kind of chat with us, and we'll have Angie back with us next week. I know she's going to be getting ready to go SHOT, so I don't know exactly when that is, but it's kind of right on top of us. So she may be busy heading out that way. So let's see. How about the new beautiful limited edition Brocock Ghost? I don't know. We'll see if Airguns of Arizona will cut one loose. I've asked for a ghost many times and I have not received one. So there you go. I'll let you guys chat about the 1435s. I have a bunch of those. I need to see how they do. If I'm going to start D2ing stuff and looking at backyard friendly stuff, maybe I'll go back. My go-to has always been the 18s or the 15.8.9s. But if we're going to shoot a little slower, maybe the 14s are worth a try. That's going to be it, guys. You guys have a great night. Have a great rest of your week. And hopefully all goes well. We'll see you next week. Don't forget, we got shorts going out almost every day. So I hope you guys are checking out to see them. Real quick note. The channel has actually done really well with the changes we've made recently. If for those that are interested in links to, like, we used to put links to where you could buy stuff in the videos. We can't do that anymore. YouTube is pitching a fit on such things. But you can always see our content here. If you go for Airgun Web stuff, go to airgunweb.com. Everything I publish is here. The shorts aren't there, but that's not that. Who cares? But this has got all the feature videos are right here. And they're all broken down by sponsor, too. So that's cool. And we've got the same thing with the GTA. So if you want to watch something and you want to get the links to the products, you can see me here on the GTA, gatewayairguns.com, airgunweb.com. You can also join the GTA if you're not already a member. And we have the ARC, Airgun Repository of Knowledge, and everything gets posted here too. So there's lots of places that you can go jump in and get that information about, excuse me, where to get airguns and where to get the airguns we're talking about. We're just not able to put the links in YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, all that kind of stuff, because they've started flagging our posts again and giving us a fit. So we're just going to not do it and do it other places. So if you guys want to check that out and want to get that information, please check out our other sites, because everything is right there. It's a little bit easier to get hold of. All right, gentlemen and ladies, we're done for the night. You guys have a great rest of your week. See ya. See you next week.